Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the Prince of Peace Sermon of the Week. For more information and resource materials, please visit our website at popmn.org. And now, here's Pastor Jeff Marion.
Town Square in Havana, Cuba, where was our tour group. And all around us was a cacophony of sound and all sorts of movement. Vendors who had kiosks all over the town square were crying out for our attention to notice what it is that they had for sale. Shoes and leather goods and all sorts of fresh produce and hand-carved chess sets. I remember it being a little overwhelming, but in the midst of all of that noise, one voice caught my attention. That voice said, "Señor, do you want cigars?" And the answer, of course, was yes. Because my grandfather was born in Cuba, that's why I explained that I have a propensity of really loving a good Cuban cigar. And so when that man noticed that he had my attention, he spoke to me two words: "Follow me." And I did. Now, I assumed that he had a kiosk around the town square like everybody else, but I was wrong. He led me down a street and down another street and then into an alleyway and then up three flights of stairs and into an apartment. And I remember thinking to myself as I walked into that apartment, either I'm going to die or I'm going to have an epic sermon illustration and a few good cigars. He led me into a bedroom, and on the bed, there were dozens of boxes of some of the best cigars in the world, but I didn't want a whole box. I only wanted a few. And so he led me back down those three flights of stairs, out that alley, down a few more streets, into a couple of other alleys, and into another apartment, and there sold me a few of my favorite cigars. He then walked me back to the square, thanked me, shook my hand, and went on his way. And I went on my way to join my tour group, except I couldn't find them. I couldn't find them anywhere. And just about the moment that panic began to rise in me, I heard a familiar voice again. "Señor, have you lost your group?" And when I said yes, he once again spoke to me those two words: "Follow me." And within 10 minutes, he had located my tour group, once again thanked me, shook my hand, and went on his way. Now, following that man probably wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. Fortunately, that story has a happy ending. But there is another who has called us, saying, "Follow me." And responding to that call is one of the best decisions we will ever make. Let's meet the one who calls in our scripture reading tonight, Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 18 through 22. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them too, and they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're in a worship series entitled Called. We're talking about the many and various ways in which God has called us in the past and is calling us now into God's work in the world, discovering how it is that the unique puzzle piece of our lives fits into the larger framework of God's work in the world, giving greater purpose and greater meaning into our lives. And while God calls us uniquely and in many different ways, depending on who we are and how we're gifted, there is one calling that we all share. It is the calling to follow Jesus. It's the calling to be disciples. Now, let me describe to you what a disciple is from a first century perspective. What exactly is this discipleship? In the ancient world, the very best and brightest of students would choose a rabbi to follow. They would literally follow wherever the rabbi went, and they would learn what the rabbi knew and learn to live like the rabbi lived. And it was not uncommon in the ancient world to follow a rabbi for a period of time and then eventually drop that rabbi and go and follow another rabbi to learn and to grow. But being a disciple of Jesus was a different experience. First of all, you'll notice that the disciples didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose his own disciples. And you'll also notice that these disciples are not the brightest and the best that society had to offer. They were common fishermen and tax collectors. And that is true for us today. We ultimately didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chooses us, compels us, calls us to follow. And I can't speak for you, but I'll say for myself, I know I'm not the brightest bulb in the human chandelier. I know the truth about myself. I am not the brightest and the best, and yet God in Christ has called me to follow as a gift of God's grace, and the call to follow is always a gift of grace. But before we get too warm and fuzzy about this issue of discipleship, let's be clear. When Jesus calls us to follow, he's not calling us to some shallow, half-hearted kind of life. When Jesus calls us to follow, he calls us to follow with our whole life, all that we are, all that we have. And that's why St. Paul, when he describes himself as a disciple, talks about himself as a slave to Christ. Sometimes he uses the phrase, I am a bond servant of Christ, which is really quite a beautiful picture. Let me explain that to you. In the ancient world, if you fell into debt, you could be sold into slavery until your debt had been paid off. But there was a provision in the ancient law that said, after you had paid your debt, if you had come to love your master because your master had treated you so well, you could choose to remain a servant of that master for life. You would be bound to that master as a servant, not out of being compelled, but out of love. A bond servant bound by love to give your life to serve the master. And in fact, there was even a little ritual in the ancient world that the master would take that bondservant to the door frame of the home and pierce that servant's ear and put in a gold ring. And that was a symbol of being a bondservant, one who was bound their whole life by love to serve their master. And that's not unlike what it is that we are being called to by Jesus, to give our lives in response to God's gracious call wholeheartedly. Of course, the question comes, why would anybody do that? Why would anybody give their entire selves in response to this calling? Why would anyone choose to give themselves so completely to Jesus? I know that for some people, the answer is they think that that's the way to get into heaven and not go to the other place. But to be honest, that's never been the reason that I have responded to Christ's call, come follow me. It's not the reason that I became a follower of Jesus when I was in college. Let me share with you why I've responded to the call of Jesus to try and live into that notion of being bound by love to the Master. And the first is this: I follow Jesus because I see in Jesus the kind of life that I want to live. And it is my hope that in following Jesus, in following the Lord will shape my life to be like his. Let me say that again. I follow Jesus because I see in Jesus the kind of life that I long to live. And it is my sincere hope that in following Jesus, Jesus will shape my life to be more like his. When I look at Jesus through the lens of Scripture, I see one who is so fully alive, filled with the presence of God in every moment of every life, so much so that Scripture says that all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in this one. Jesus seemed always fully alive to God's loving presence in his life. That's how I want my life to be. I want my life to shine with the love and the presence of God in daily life. And then secondly, I see in Jesus a man who lives to love wastefully. I love that phrase, to love wastefully. Jesus seems so filled with the infinite love of God that he doesn't seem to be able to help himself but to pour out that love upon everyone that he meets, whether they deserve it or not, especially those who could never repay it. Jesus, it seems to me, goes through life like a man with an infinite number of $100 bills and just passes them out willy-nilly as fast as he can, not caring what they do with it, not knowing whether they deserve it, doesn't care whether they're thanked or not. I see in Jesus one who walks through life loving wastefully. And I want to live fully alive and loving wastefully in life, but I know I can't do that on my own. I know I don't have it in me. And so I long to follow Jesus in the hopes that Jesus will shape my life to be like his. My heart, my mind, my actions, my decisions, what I say, how I interact with others, all of it. Being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus isn't about being a member of a church. It isn't about trying harder to be good. It isn't about following a bunch of rules. It isn't about jumping a bunch of hoops to get into heaven. Call to follow Jesus is a call into a living relationship with a living Lord that transforms our lives to be more like Jesus's life. No matter who we are and no matter what stage of life we're in, whether a student or a worker or a volunteer or someone who's retired, no matter what we do in life, we are called that way. And discipleship isn't a destination. It's how we live day to day in the journey of life. It's the way we walk the journey of life, so full of God and so full of God's love that we shine with God's presence and share that love with others. Among all the voices that I heard that day in Havana, one caught my attention because he offered something that I thought I wanted. I'm not sure I'd make that same choice again. And of all the voices that I have heard in this world, there is one that has called me to follow because this one holds what I most deeply desire in life, to live fully, to love wastefully. And I trust that that one can shape my life and can shape your life as well. And so do you hear that voice, that still small voice of Jesus saying, come, follow me just as you are, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been. Do you hear that voice? Maybe you've already responded to that voice. Maybe you've never even thought about responding to that call. Tonight, I'd like us to have the opportunity to respond to that gracious call, again or for the first time, to commit ourselves to being bond servants of Christ, where real life is found, bound not to earn our way into heaven, but bound out of love for the one who loves us enough to give his life for us. And so I'm going to invite our prayer ministers to come forward tonight. If you'd like the opportunity simply to pray with someone about your journey as a disciple, then come on up and let someone pray with you. Pray that God will give you ears to hear that call and the resolve to follow with your whole life, a life that calls us to live fully and love wastefully in ways that bring us joy and change this world in which we live. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to invite you, if you'd like, to come. God, I give you thanks that it isn't just fishermen and tax collectors that you call, but people just like me, people like us, people who have a full recognition that we are not all that we were created to be, and a deep hunger to be more, but we know it is not within us to do it on our own. And so we come to you, responding to your call, committing ourselves, bound by the love that you have first given us, to follow you with our whole lives. And then go out into this world to live fully, to love wastefully in ways that might even allow others to hear Jesus' call. And so God, we come tonight and we respond to that call with our lives. It's in your name that we pray. And together all God's people said, come as you feel called.